This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد يقول الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد الفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأحل الله البيع وحرم الربا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول الله تبارك وتعالى أول ما خلق الله العقل ثم قال أقبل فأقبل ثم قال أدبر فأدبر ثم قال وعزتي وجلالي ما خلقت خلقا أكرم علي منك بك آخذ وبك أعطي وبك أثيب وبك أعاقب صدق الله العظيم. Honorable ulama, respected elders and brothers, there's great emphasis laid in today's day and age on the intellectual faculty of men. Or should we say in simple terms as rationalism. And we are asked to take our decisions based on this principle. If things make sense to us, then we should go ahead with it. And if things do not appeal to our logic, it doesn't come within the grasp of our understanding, then we should let go of it. So there's great emphasis on the intellectual faculty of men. And it's taking the rise in many parts of the world. And you find groups being formed who are known as the rationalists, the modern thinkers, and many other names. Let me start off by saying, no doubt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a unique quality, and that is the intellectual faculty that we possess. After all, it is the distinguishing factor between the animal kingdom and the mankind. Allah has given us this faculty which we enjoy over all other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, in his book, Ihya ul-Ulum, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi has brought a phenomenal narration. أَوَّلُ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَقْلِ. One of the first things which Allah created was intelligence. After Allah created intelligence, Allah addressed it. ثُمَّ قَالَ لَوْ أَقْبِلْ فَأَقْبَلَ. Allah said to intelligence, come forward. And it complied, it came forward. ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ أَدْبِرْ فَأَدْبَرَ. Then Allah says, I told intelligence to withdraw, to retreat, and it complied. Allah says, وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي مَا خَلَقْتُ خَلْقًا أَكْرَمَ عَلَيَّ مِنْكَ. I take a qasam, I take an oath on my grandeur, I haven't created anything as so unique as intelligence. Bika akhudh, Allah goes on to say, it is through you, O intelligence, that I will take people to task. Wa bika u'ti, and through you, O intelligence, I will reward people. Wa bika uthib, wa bika u'aqib. So no doubt, intelligence is a great gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a prized position of a believer and every human being for that fact. Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi in his book, Discipline in the Soul, writes that to understand the excellence of anything, look at its fruits. And the excellence of the mind and the excellence of intelligence is found in the certain examples that he gives. He says, number one, the mind contemplated on the signs of Allah and it recognized its creator. The mind contemplated on the signs of prophethood and the mind accepted that the prophets are unique human beings who do not lie and they convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn al-Qayyim goes on to enumerate the excellence of the mind and he says, Through our intelligence as humans, we have subdued and tamed wild animals in the open. Through our intelligence, we have built ships on which we have reached destinations which the sea prevented us from reaching previously. And Ibn al-Qayyim goes on to say that there are so many other bounties that Allah has given us through this intellect. And in today's time, we would say, through our intelligence, we have built skyscrapers. We have invented such machineries, and we have invented such technology that has made life easy. Today we are able to traverse from one place to the other in a short span of time. We've got aircraft, we've got other modes of transport and other modes of conveyance. These are the benefits and these are the fruits of intelligence. Having said that, intelligence is also a very deceptive faculty of man. And that's what I want to address today. That yes, Allah has given us intelligence. Yes, Allah has given us the mind. But Allah has also set some parameters. Allah has also set some boundaries. There are certain bearings that go with the intelligence. And as humans, we are encouraged to use our mind, provided it is within its jurisdiction, and provided it is guided by Sharia, and provided it is guided by divine revelation. Otherwise, human intelligence can lead us to ruins. Let's look at some examples of the mind and its deceptive nature. About 8 centuries ago, there was a group that sprang up known as the Qarramitiyya or the Batini. And one of its renowned leaders was Ubaidullah bin Hassan al-Qirwani. Now, I want you to just listen to this example that I'm going to quote to you. He writes to his followers and he says, "I fail to understand why we wed our sisters off to strangers." I said, here you have a lady in your house who understands your temperaments. She understands your strong points. She knows your weak areas. She knows how you are and she has adapted accordingly. He says, I find it foolish that a man weds his daughter and his sister off to a total stranger. And he brings in his house a total stranger, not even knowing whether it will work out or not. Therefore, I advise you to marry your own sister. That's not all. He goes on to write, if a sister can arrange meals to satisfy your hunger, if your sister can arrange your bedding, if your sister can do your washing, and if your sister can maintain your needs, then I fail to understand why can she not fulfill and satisfy your sexual need also. And therefore, I advise you, my followers, to marry your own sisters and preserve the wealth of your household. Now, here is a man who is exercising his intelligence where there's divine revelation. If you oppose him and you say that it's immoral and it's disgusting, we would say on an intellectual level, you've got no grounds. The reason why you regard it and you classify it as disgusting is because of the cultural norm and the cultural customs around you that people do not marry their sisters, and therefore you are also shunning this practice. But on an intellectual level, you cannot oppose him. He's got a point. He's got a very strong point. If you say medically incest is harmful, then you would say today in the West you find literature promoting and showing the benefits of incest also. So here you have a man who's exercising his intelligence where there's divine revelation. Allah is not saying do not use your intelligence, but what Allah is saying that exercise your intelligence within its jurisdiction and not beyond its jurisdiction. Let's look at a closer example. Before the Bill of Homosexuality was passed in the UK Parliament, it was vehemently opposed. And so they decided to set up a committee. And this committee was tasked to find out and to debate vociferously with regards to the passage of this bill. After deliberating, they came to the conclusion, and listen to this. They said, "We understand that this act is not good. We have, however, made a difference here, and we say that the law should not interfere in the private affair of a man. And therefore, in the light of this principle, we do not see anything wrong with this act, so long as we make a distinction between sin and crime. We regard it as a sin, but it's not a crime. We see no justification for this bill not being passed." Now here's men, in exercising his intelligence, and he thinks that he is smart enough to use his mind where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decreed the matter is wrong and it's prohibited. And this is a test of men. The more educated we become, the greater the test for us in life. That do we subdue ourselves to Allah? Do we surrender to Allah, or do we exercise our own intelligence? Let's look at some examples. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi in his Ihya writes in the chapter of Hajj that the entire ritual of Hajj contradicts logic. Circumambulating the Kaaba 7 times around, run like a mad person from Safa to Marwa, and then slaughtering and sacrificing an animal and shaving the head and camping in the open sky, it doesn't make sense. Imam Ghazali writes that there lies the test of men. Does he exercise his intelligence, or does he go with the order of Allah? Why 7 times? He doesn't ask. I'm making tawaf 7 times. Why am I running between Safa and Marwa 7 times? A lady ran between Safa and Marwa. Why are the men running? The ladies were supposed to be running. It contradicts logic. Why are we sacrificing an animal? It doesn't make sense. Does he subdue himself in front of Allah, or does he exercise his intelligence in that place also? Why has Allah stipulated 2.5% of zakat? It doesn't make sense. Why is there 5 times daily salah? It doesn't make sense. Why a man can marry 4 women? It doesn't make sense. And so many other injunctions of Sharia. The question why does not come up where there's revelation. That's the rule of thumb. If Allah has said 2 rakats for Fajr and you want to read 4, you can't. That is where the test lies. That will you surrender to Allah, or will you follow your intelligence? Ali radiallahu ta'ala said a profound thing, and he said, "Law kana ad-din bil-ra'y lakana al-mashu 'ala asfal al-khuf." If deen was based on logic, then we would be making masah on the bottom part of the khuf and the bottom part of the leather sock, and not the top part. Because when we are walking, it's the bottom part that's getting dirty, not the top part. But when we're making masah, we're making masah on the top part. He said that shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not based it on logic. And this is the test of human being. The kuffar have exercised the same principle. They say, what is wrong between riba and a normal transaction? In a normal transaction, you are bartering, or you are selling an item and you're making a profit. Now, why don't you apply the same principle when it comes to riba? We are borrowing you money, that's an item, and in return we are making a profit. It's the same principle we are applying here, which is applied there. Why is it haram? وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الْرِبَى. Allah only gave one answer. Transaction is halal, riba is haram. Allah did not go into the logic of it. Why? Because it's the test. It's a test for mankind that will he submit himself to Allah or not. The so-called great thinkers of our time, they say, you know what, pork should be halal. Because pork in previous times was haram because the pigs were bred, in a very unhygienic environment, in a very filthy environment, and they ate of filth. That is why the Quran made pork haram. But in today's day and age, we are so sophisticated in terms of hygiene. We've got proper facilities and we've got hygienic farms to breed these pigs, and therefore pork should be halal. So here again, man is exercising his intelligence. He is using his mind beyond its parameters. And to understand this, a computer will give you an answer which you have fed it. So, if you're going to ask your computer to give you an answer which it does not have within its own capacity, it will not only not work, but it will give you wrong answers also. The same way with the human mind. If you're going to stretch it beyond its limit, it's not only not going to work, but it's going to furnish wrong answers. Just like how this man said, "What's wrong? Why don't we marry our own sisters?" Likewise, you will question every tenet of deen also. And that is why there is a great test for human being. And why this and why that has become a very common thing in many social circles. Why Maulana like this? Why Maulana like that? Amazing, you look at the Quran, Allah doesn't give reasoning behind his injunctions. Why? He gives you the commandment and straight, you abide by it. A woman that is divorced must sit in iddah for 3 cycles. If her husband passes away, she must sit 4 months, 10 days. Why? That's not Allah's job to explain why. Allah has set the commandments into this world as a test for human being. And we need to live our life in total submission. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and he told him, "Oh Ibrahim, place that knife on your son's neck." There you had logic knocking on the door of Ibrahim. How can you kill your only son? After so many years, Allah gave you a son. After so many years, how can you kill your son? Doesn't make sense. Ask Allah, it doesn't make sense. He said, "Oh Allah, I'm going ahead. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ." And when we said to Ibrahim, submit, he submitted totally to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never said, "Oh Allah, I'll accept, but you see, this part I really don't understand. I need some clarity. I don't understand this part." Allah said to Ibrahim, "Leave your wife and your son in open, barren land." He's not questioning Allah. Allah tells him, "Oh Ibrahim, make a call towards the Baytullah and the Kaaba." The question comes, "Oh Allah, there's no one here. There's no one here. Who am I calling?" But he submitted. That is why Allah says, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنْ. When Allah tested Ibrahim, he came out with flying colors. The test will be for every individual in this world. And according to his intellectual capacity, Allah will test him in his life. And so brothers and sisters in Islam, we need to try to improve ourselves inshaAllah. And align ourselves with the thought pattern of Islam, with the thought pattern of Sharia. There is the thought pattern, the so-called rationalism which the Western world promotes. They have taken religion out of the equation. And so they are now marrying their own sisters, sleeping with their own daughters, and they have lowered the bar so low that it no longer strikes their mind that what they're doing is wrong. And so our safety lies in following the commands of Allah through the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if we can submit ourselves to the command of Allah, then we are successful. It's a test for a doctor, it's a test for a mulana, it's a test for a hafiz, it's a test for a lawyer, it's a test for every intellectual person. Allah will test him in his field, and we need to be strong, and inshallah make dua that, "Oh Allah, keep us steadfast and always keep us on iman inshallah." And always align ourselves to the scholars of deen. never try to understand any aspect of deen on our own capacity. As I said, we will not only reach the wrong conclusion, but we'll take a lot of people on the wrong path with us. May Allah give us the tawfiq.